The following talk was given at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on November 9, 2025. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Well, good morning, everyone. See some old faces and a lot of new faces too, so. Most of you know Dainin Katagiri was, he came in the 60s to establish the Minnesota Zen Meditation Center up by Lake Calhoun there, or Budobakashka. It's changed since I was up here. He bought land 5 years after he arrived in Minneapolis, down at a place called Hokioji, which is near New Albany, Iowa, which tucked right in the northeast corner of Iowa down there. And so that, you know, it was like 5 years after he got to Minneapolis here, he went off and bought 280 acres of land. So it's like, what was going on there? But his vision there was to have a training monastery in the Midwest for American priests, that all the monks there, in Japan are registered, with going to a training monastery. So that quality is like learning how to be together. And it's not, people say it's learning all the forms. It's not, the bows are the bows, but that means to pay respect, So those forms, they have a voice. And so we bow to each other, It's like, it's really to say hello. And that's a little Japanese custom there too, also, hello. Anyway, so we established Rumanji, and so that was 25 years ago. But the place that they had at Hokioji was closed after Katagiri Roshi died. And when a founder dies, things sometimes drop off, finances, whatever. So then, it's like, they closed Hokioji. So that whole vision of buying all that land, 280 acres, to build monastery buildings, eventually, was closed. It was just, the door was shut. So life's fine, when it's going your way. But when it's not going your way, where are you? So that is really what our Zazen here is about. You were sitting, I think, for, a period of Zazen. So Zazen is, it's not so much trying to get something. It's really like bringing yourself to the plate, so to speak. That quality is, we don't have control over everything. And that was a big, we were starting to winterize buildings there to move forward a couple of years, it was just like a Girl Scout, Boy Scout camp before. But that It was like the door was just shut. So how do you take care of life where it is? That's the whole thing about Zazen. You know, like get with moment. You know, so that quality is like to bring yourself to what is. So we all have our ideas about, you know, where we want to go, how we want, what we want to do today, or whatever, how our life should go. You know, thousands of examples, you know, and they usually are all, we want to go for what we like, and we want to avoid, you know, what we don't like. So that's cool. It's human nature. But the reality is true life is constantly arising and disappearing. You know, where are we? You know, and things change. And, you know, in that case, the door was shut at Hokioji for a long time, you know. So no one was permitted there. You know, it was just a caretaker. So how do you take care of moment where it is? I didn't know where I would go or what I would do. So that finally, you know, somebody said, well, why don't you just come to Decora? Do you all know where Decora is? Okay, it's a beautiful town. Come. You can stop at Rumaji too. So that's the name of our monastery there. But that just happened, you know, I mean, that somebody appeared, you know. So, you know, sometimes we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. So how do you just take care of not knowing? I did. There was a point of coming from, you know, St. Louis Park, where I stayed last night, to here, where so many detours were out there. You know, I ended up, you know, getting off at Normandale Lutheran Church, feeling totally lost. You know, that was just 20 minutes ago. I do a fast change. So, but even that, you know, I had no idea. So I just kind of, you know, got off at the next exit or whatever. And there was a great bodhisattva person. We both kind of met each other at a stoplight. And I rolled my window down and said, could you tell me how to get to 50th in France? So that was, you know where 50th in France is, right? Okay. Anyway, so I got here. But that's really life. There's a lot of time, day to day, moment to moment. We don't know where we are, and we don't know what's what, you know. Or it doesn't go our way with little things, you know, burning the soup or whatever, you know. But little things are big things. So the issue is, can you hang on to yourself a little bit? And that's called non-thinking. What is non-thinking? Non-thinking is like just, you know, like letting go of my like or my dislikes, you know, and just, I wanted it to be this way or it didn't turn out that way, you know. Can I just get with non-thinking? Non-thinking is just be where you are for a second, you know. And that's no solution, you know, but it's like moment to moment. Just get with where you are, you know. We say non-thinking. So non-thinking is not to get something, again, according to my like or dislikes. Non-thinking, we all want that, but sometimes you just have to be in a fog there for a bit or whatever and take care of the moment where it is. So that quality is really what we say in Zazen. Is sitting down, we're sitting, you know, and your mind's going, and sometimes you notice, oh, my mind's going all over the place. Well, that's cool. My mind goes all over the place too. But little by little, you know, the instruction for Zazen is sit up in correct bodily posture, which means don't sit like this, because if you sit like this, you're off into, you know, wonderland someplace. You know, your mind's thinking. So the instruction is simply, whether you're in a chair or on a bench or on a cushion, sit up where, you know, sit upright in correct bodily posture. This was a monk named Dogen who transmitted Soto Zen from China to Japan. So that Soto Zen lineage has to do with not trying to get enlightened or have some kind of enlightenment experience, you know, but to bring yourself to the moment that is. If you can't do that, you're suffering, because life is moving, you know, moment to moment. Things are changing, you know, in the country, you know, in your situation, in your logistics, how to get here. You know, it's like things are always moving. If you can't get with it, you're just lost, you know, and suffer. So the whole Buddhist teaching about Zazen is bring yourself to moment. Be with what is. So sometimes that means taking a breath, you know, or straightening your posture if you're aware you're off into thinking about things. And it's cool, and sometimes you have cool ideas and say, wow, that's great. You know, I like Zazen, it's pretty good. But then when your rear end starts hurting and your knees or whatever, then, you know, I don't know about this Zazen stuff. I think I'll try yoga. Well, why not? Yoga's not bad. You know, I'd like to do a little yoga too. You know. But anyway, you with me? Are we kind of? So anyway, there was a monk named Homeless Kodo, and he didn't have a temple. In other words, his father was not a priest, and he didn't inherit a temple. But he was ordained as a monk, but he went around it, but he was called Homeless Kodo, not having a temple. And a lot of time he would kind of just go to villages, and, you know, I don't know what, you know, preachers of the old days did, you know, but he kind of played with kids too, quite a bit. And he would teach them like a bouncing ball. So a bouncing ball is kind of interesting, isn't it? You've got to keep it going. Otherwise it just... But the idea of this little game he would play was got to keep the bouncing ball bouncing. Can you do it? So that is a matter of everydayness. Or another way you could say that, it's a matter of staying tuned in and tuning in to moment to moment. Get with what's going on. Get with the detours. Get with whatever. So that is the practice. It's not trying to get high or kind of get some kind of enlightenment. It's taking care of how's your bouncing ball going? Are you with moment to moment? Are you with taking care of what's under your foot? Are you with cleaning up your room? Are you with making dinner? Are you with, you know, negotiating whatever, you know, we have to do? So that is really, you know, I call it the practice. It's not trying to get high. It's not trying to get enlightenment. It's just kind of like the thing of bringing yourself to moment. So we just had a 21st anniversary and 25th anniversary. And Steve was mentioning, you know, we had some monks from Japan came because I practiced there 3 months at a treating monastery. And there were two monks from the West Coast. There's a North American bishop, he came. So, and there were people who had some connection with Rumanji for 25 years. And it was really nice. It was nice to see, you know, Steve and Jed came down. That was really great. And but we all had grown a little, like, oh, yeah, like, who are you? You know, people change over 25 years. So it was really nice, but no idea about how that was going to come off. You know, we started planning a year in advance. So that too, you know, was just bringing ourselves to moment, doing as much planning as you could do, you know, and taking care of just, you know, just being there. So eventually, that's how we ended up building Rumanji. So I came to Decorah and, you know, lived in a granary for a while and then, you know, moved into town and then some land was donated completely out of the blue. So how did that happen? I don't know. But the person who was sitting with us said he had some land. What would I think about, maybe we could work something out. So a couple of times we were just starting to look for land over there to bring back Kategori Roshi's vision there of, anyway, make a long story short, you know, we ended up starting to build there at Rumanji and we named it Rumanji. So the Japanese word for that is Ru is dragon and Mon is gate. And Ji means temple. So Rumanji in English is called Dragon Gate Temple. So what was that all about? Like, why do you have a temple named Dragon Gate? What's that meaning? So that comes from an ancient legend. And this was from Dogen. Dogen was the Japanese monk who went to China and brought back more Soto Zen lineage. So he talked about that there was a place in the mountains called the Dragon Gate. And just listen for a minute here, just what he says about that. This monk named Dogen said, in the sea, there is a place known as the Dragon Gate. He says, where huge waves repeatedly rise. Okay, so it's a metaphor. Okay, hang on. So where huge waves repeatedly rise. Then he said, when fish pass through this place, they always become dragons. So dragons is another metaphor for a great creature, great person, really self-actualized, if you want to use modern parlance, you know, that you're with it, you know, you're tuned in, and you have strength, internal strength. to deal with suchness as it is. Those teachings are all in this thing of Zazen. What is Zazen? So take care of moment. That is passing through the dragon gate, passing through the waves of your everyday life and my everyday life and today's everyday life, just getting here, you know. So that quality takes being a dragon, you know, like to really, you know, that is passing through the dragon gate. You still look like fish. He says, Dogen says, now it seems to me that the waves there are no different from any place else. And the water too is the same salt water of just everyday life. Nevertheless, it is an established miracle, so to speak, that when fish pass through there, they always become dragons. So that is just taking care of moment. That quality is, this is a book called Record of Things Heard that Dogen's disciple, whose name was Koen Ajo, this is back in the 13th century, Koen Ajo took notes on Dogen's Dharma talks and things. And he put this together and called a little book was eventually formed of his notes called Record of Things Heard. It's the only book that Ketagir Roshi ever suggested to me. You know, I'm sorry, he didn't have your book out yet, but that's pretty good too. But anyway, so it's full of different things of this monk named Dogen, if you want to kind of explore that further. So, the long and short of that then is people started coming and, you know, we moved from Decora and then just started building buildings. Our first building was a temple building, you know, which pays honor to Buddhas and ancestors, pays honor to all those who went before us. We're practicing as you practice. And even without, you know, without attaching to Zazen, you know, necessarily, you know, but they live their life, you know. So it's like, just pay homage. You know, we benefit. We all benefit from each other. We all are interwoven, interpenetrated with countless time and space and circumstances for good and for bad. So we all are interwoven and interpenetrated, not some this way and some that way, but at some level, we are one oneness in a sense, you could say. And that's that Enso that you see sometimes as a Japanese symbol. You know, it's not a Japanese symbol, but a universal symbol of oneness, that we're all connected in some way. So how do you live there in peace and harmony with what is? You know, war is not going to solve anything. So we are one race. All people want to be happy. All people want to have a good life. So that quality is, you know, it's a matter of everydayness. How do we live there and stand up there? Anyway, that is Soto Zen. It's not just hanging on to some kind of enlightenment thing. You know, it's just another way of getting high, you know, or whatever. You're already transcending everything. Yeah. Well, anyway. So, along the way, we built three or four buildings there, and Carpenter, he was a member, and we had just, there was a lot of support, and it came to be, and there were 25 years. So I'm still kind of living off of that in a way. I mean, coming down off of all that. So excuse me for still shaking out my laundry, so to speak, kind of thing. One last thing is this monk, homeless Kodo, Kodo Sawaki was his last name. He made this statement that Zazen is good for nothing. What's he talking about there? So that was famous, him saying the Zen is good for nothing. So what that's about is it's not trying to get somewhere. It's not trying to, get whatever, or I'll sit zazen because I, my mind kind of settles down a little bit. That's good, But if it's always trying to get somewhere, you're really missing, you're not living in some sort of just okayness with yourself and with how do we work with what is. So that quality is just what I've always been talking about, is bringing yourself to moment. It's like not even attaching to zazen as a means to get somewhere. It's just showing up, period. So I get up every morning and I sit. By and large, most of the time. So it's good. It's not trying to get someplace. It's just bring myself to today's day, and get with moment. Take care of what's in front of me. So I'm grateful to Katagiri Rushi. He kind of focused on that quality. He showed up every morning. More or less. And Monday mornings, it was a break, after the weekend. But whether you're visiting or whether you never even come back, it's all good, But, for you and for all of us, bring yourself to moment. Because we are all interwoven and interconnected. So I hope things go well for everybody. And if you have any questions, we could kind of throw some things around, maybe. Or we could just kind of get together downstairs and have a little tea. You have any questions? Or comments? I have one for you. Yeah, I think you might be the youngest person here. I'm not sure. I don't want to put that on you. And how did you come here today? Aha! Uh-huh. What's he up to? Dad doing weird things. Is it okay? Was it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So who's the oldest person here? We won't go there. So it's good to see some familiar faces. So hello. Sometimes it's hard to recognize familiar faces when we have big gaps in between, but Yeah.
So could you talk about some of the activities at Rumonji? Like, do you have some sesshins or?
Oh, yeah, we do a monthly session on the third weekend of each month, usually. We have a daily or, you know, a weekly or daily sitting if anyone, you know, comes. But we have a public sitting on Friday evenings, Thursday evenings, and then on Sunday mornings, like at 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, we Zoom that meeting. So that's like a Dharma talk. Well, a 9 o'clock sitting, and then a Dharma talk after that. Chant the Heart Sutra, and then the Dharma talk. So that's kind of a monthly situation. And that schedule's on our website, which is Rumonji. So, and there is a 7-day traditional sesshin called Rohatsu, which is December 1st through the 8th, which is the 8th is the Buddha's, recognized as the Buddha's so-called enlightenment day. But I don't think it all happened just at once. But anyway, sort of. Anyway, that's our schedule.
Thank you. Sorry, I was a little eager to ask a question. How is your thinking about, you've been practicing for decades now, you know, early or mid 70s till now. What's your experience of sitting? How would you compare what it is like to sit today versus when you first began? Is there a difference? Has it changed?
The first day I sat was over at the Minnesota Zen Center. I sat in front of one of the windows looking over the lake. Okay. And at that time, I was going through some rocky time in my life, and the bottom had dropped out. So, but my brother-in-law, he was doing some stuff out in California. Anyway, he came back and said, "Hey, I heard there's a Japanese Roshi just came to Minneapolis. You want to go check him out?" And I said, "Are you kidding? I don't want any of that stuff, you know." So I was really not into it. He said, "Oh, come on." He said, "All they're doing is they just sit there." That's all, you know. You can do that, you know. I said, "Okay, all right." So I thought, well, that's not so bad. Just sit there, you know. Okay, so I remember what window that was, you know, I was looking out, second seat inside the door of that old Zendo. So, but in that 40 minutes, you know, that last, you know, I was grinding on all the ins and outs of my life then. Just really grinding on it, you know. That's what was bubbling up, you know. But in that last 5 minutes, somehow my mind settled down enough. And it was almost like I turned around and looked at myself and said, "Hey, get your shit together." Mm-hmm. So that was really a turning moment. I had a 3-year-old son, you know, and I was like, get it together. It was like a moment of truth. Instead of all the scenarios, my mind had quieted enough that I just was dealing with what is. So I thought, okay. So I just started going back over there, you know, and I'd go back and I just would sit. And when he was with his mom, you know, I'd sit at home a little bit, you know, but when he was with me, that's a, you know, sort of a little bit at home. But when he was with his mom, I would, you know, go over to the Zendo. And sometimes it was just a few people there, or even just Katagiri Roshi by himself. So it was really good. You know, it's like, it was just that same mantra almost, like just get with what is. Just deal with, you know, such as. It's not trying to get something or get high. It's just, there's always a little bit of that, you know, that you feel, you don't do things that you don't feel like you get some benefit out of. So there's a certain level of that that plays there. But if you're looking for the benefit, that's got to come from in you, you know, like bringing yourself to moment. It's just a, you know, I don't know. It was a Buddhist way to sit up under a dead tree, you know, beyond thinking, to just deal with what is, kind of. It's just, really, it's truth in a sense. What is what is. So how do you deal with it? That's the question. And if you're attached to the like and dislikes and can't get with what is, you suffer. So the whole Buddha's teaching about sitting, you know, is to relieve human beings from suffering. And we're attached to our like and dislikes. That suffering can get pretty deep sometimes, you know, from alcoholism to abuse to, you know, sexual abuse to, you know, to all kinds of stuff that's happening right now with soybeans going under, you know, and not having soybean crops, you know, to mail, to send out, which is changing just recently. But farmers, we have one of our members who's a counselor at a hospital. Anyway, that's how it got started. Thank you. So let's have a good day. That means just deal with it as it is. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.